I'm really starting to enjoy the fact that there are now more cases coming through concerning the so-called green taxes. It seems to be the case that when a new tax is introduced, there is a period of silence whilst it beds in, so to speak, and then leading up to the 10-year anniversary of the tax, it all seems to kick off. This case concerns aggregates levy, which was introduced by the Finance Act 2001. Aggregates levy aimed to encourage recycling by taxing the extraction of certain virgin aggregate. It applies to rock, gravel and sand, but does not apply to other products such as slate. Now, like with any taxes, there are always conditions that have got to be satisfied before the tax applies, and there are always a host of exemptions to consider as well. Currently, aggregates levy is charged at the rate of £2 per tonne, prorated for part tonnes, when it is taxable aggregate that is subject to commercial exploitation. There are a number of instances when aggregate is not taxable. For example, if it's previously been used for construction purposes. The logic behind this is to encourage recycling. Why quarry raw materials when there are plenty of disused buildings around that could be knocked down and the materials reused? Also, as well as being taxable aggregate, we said that the levy will only apply if it is then subjected to commercial exploitation. Again, there are instances where the aggregate is not commercially exploited. For example, if it again becomes part of the land at the site from which it was won and wasn't mixed with any other substance or material apart from water, then it's not commercially exploited. You can see that if somebody digs up some rock, perhaps in order to lay a drain, for example, and then puts the rock back down again, then they haven't really depleted the earth of the natural aggregate, so the levy shouldn't kick in. Now, the reason I picked up on these features of the legislation is that they become part of the discussion in this case. Well, take a look at what happened. The appellant was the contractor that was constructing a hydroelectric power station for Scottish and Southern Electricity. It involved the removal of peat and till to form a reservoir. And a dam was constructed from over 1 million tonnes of rock, which had been removed from a quarry site approximately 100 metres away to its nearest point. Some of the rock had to be crushed and screened to a smaller size before being used. It was not mixed with any other material or substance other than water during the construction of the dam. Once the dam had been built up, a 300mm thick concrete slab was applied to the water side of it to provide a waterproof impermeable barrier. The concrete was not the subject of the appeal. Pipelines and tunnels were laid to divert water to the reservoir, and a control building was constructed at the head of the dam, along with generators, temporary roads and other buildings, etc. The hydroelectric power is generated by the force of the water driving generation machinery. The dam stores potential energy by retraining the flow of water from the reservoir to a lower elevation. The potential energy is then converted to kinetic energy as the water is released from the reservoir and moves under the action of gravity. Customs had compulsory registered the appellant for aggregates levy, and an assessment for over £1.6 million was raised. The quarry where the rock came from was in the reservoir footprint and was now underwater. In order to construct the dam on a solid base, peat, soil, etc. were removed to a depth of 12 metres to reveal solid rock. Rock from the quarry was then used to fill the area where the peat and soil, etc. had been removed and to construct the dam itself. The dam was partially below the previous ground level and partly above it and rose in a triangular form when looked at in cross-section. The estimated working life is 75 years. Now, remember, in order for the levy to be due, it has to be taxable aggregate that is commercially exploited. It was not contested that the rock was aggregate, that it was taxable, as none of the exemptions applied, and that it was exploited. It is exploited if it is used for construction purposes. This includes using it as a support in the construction of a structure such as a dam. So, initially what the tribunal had to look at was whether it was commercially exploited. Subsection 3E of Section 19 to the Finance Act 2001 says that it is commercially exploited if the exploitation to which it is subjected is not such that, as a result and without it being subjected to any process involving its being mixed with any other substance or material other than water, it again becomes part of the land at the site from which it was won. So, basically, the appellant was arguing that because they hadn't mixed the rock with anything other than water, and the dam was on the land at the site from where the rock was won, they satisfied this bit of the legislation. Therefore, what they had done did not amount to commercial exploitation. Now, customs, on the other hand, argued that the word again meant the rock would have to be returned to the site of the quarry and not the dam to again become part of that land. The tribunal said that the legislation did not use the word returned to the land, which would imply putting it back in the same way, which would likely to be impossible anyway. They also said that the word site should not be construed so narrowly. Customs also argued that it didn't become part of the land, but part of a new structure, the dam, and a distinction should be drawn between the part of the dam below ground level and the part above. The tribunal went to the Interpretation Act of 1978 to look at the definition of land there, given that there wasn't one in the Finance Act itself. This says that land includes buildings and other structures. So, being satisfied that the dam was included in the word land, the tribunal had to decide on the interpretation of the word site. The tribunal found it persuasive that the area of the reservoir contained the quarry, and where the rock was removed from the quarry to form the dam, the quarry was then filled with soil and till and rock, and when the reservoir filled with water, was covered with water and became part of the reservoir. The footprint of the quarry was not in an area of land several kilometres away from the footprint of the dam. It was on land that became part of the reservoir, which was created when the dam was built and the water captured. The East Midlands Aggregates High Court case was considered. The High Court in that case had to look at the word site in connection with an exemption from aggregates levy. It concerned warehouses and a lorry park. The exemption was available for aggregate removed on the site of a proposed building. The High Court agreed with the tribunal that the lorry park came within the immediate area of the building operations, and therefore the word site was not limited to the immediate footprint of the building. The tribunal was persuaded that, based on the High Court's ruling above, if 10 people were asked to line up and identify the site, they would not consider the footprint of the dam as one site and the footprint of the quarry as another. The tribunal considered the distance of the quarry from the dam, but even if it had been 2 kilometres long, it was still within the sensible workable meaning of the word site. Finally, the tribunal looked at the scale of the project. It was a major civil engineering project. The tribunal also noted that customs has the authority to set the boundaries of a site under the legislation. Customs' final argument was that if the tribunal allowed the appeal, then in the future the dam could be dismantled and the aggregate sold free of the levy, because Section 17AB says that if it has previously been used for construction purposes, it is not taxable aggregate. The tribunal was not persuaded by that argument and aligned it to the example of farmers that use rocks in their natural state to build dry stone walls. When they collapse, the loose stones can be sold free of the levy. The only difference here to them was the sheer scale of the dam. One final point that the tribunal had to address was if they had found in favour of customs, the appellant had a second argument to put forwards. A tax credit is available for aggregates levy paid where the aggregate is used in a prescribed industrial or agricultural process. These processes are listed in a schedule to a statutory instrument, the Aggregates Levy General Regulations. One of the processes listed is production of energy. Customs' argument was that the aggregate must be used in the production of energy and not used in construction for the production of energy, and that if this latter interpretation were given, then aggregate used in the construction of the concrete walls of a power station or for the road to the power station would be entitled to credit. In their view, the aggregate is only entitled to a credit if it is being used for their other physical properties. The tribunal rejected this argument, as one of the uses listed is sand in a children's sandpit. The tribunal said that a rock-fill dam may be in a special and possibly singular category in relation to its use in the production of energy, and distinguished the use of aggregate as concrete in the construction of a shell to hold an oil-filled power station. The dam was a significant part of the hydroelectric scheme. It collected and stored water, and consequently potential energy by restraining the flow of water, which in turn converted to kinetic energy. It was an integral part of the energy production scheme. So, the tribunal would have allowed that appeal anyway if they had to have decided the issue. Given the amount of money at stake here, I can see an appeal on the horizon. The knock-on effects of this decision could be that, firstly, customs changed the law to make it clear what is classed as the site. Secondly, they'll probably be more alert to when traders register, given that they have powers in Section 24 of the legislation to set out the boundaries of the site. I also wonder if this decision ultimately stands, whether we will see retrospective claims for aggregates levy credits from companies that have used aggregate in similar circumstances but had initially paid it because they weren't lucky enough to have their own quarry within the boundaries of the site. The tribunal really had to decide the second point in favour of the appellant as a natural consequence of their first decision. The reason I say this is because imagine that this company didn't have a quarry on the site and had to buy in virgin rock from somewhere else to construct the dam. When they purchased it, it would have been taxable aggregate and subject to commercial exploitation, so the levy would have been due. So if the tribunal had concluded that it wasn't used in the production of energy, then using your own quarry would result in no levy because it was returned to the land at the same site, but buying from someone else's would because it wasn't returned to the land at the same site. And that then wouldn't sit right, in my opinion. But if that's the case, then the argument about it being returned to the land in the same estate kind of goes out the window, because if ultimately it's covered by a credit, then does it actually matter? Again, like I've said with a lot of these cases, I don't think we've seen the last of this.